Let's go ahead and invite our very dear Sheikh Mehdi Taib for tonight's speech. Please invite him with a loud and a warm Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdu wa thana'u lillah al-ahad rabbil alameen. Thumma salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wa sayyidil mursaleen. حبيب الله رب العالمين العبد المؤيد والرسول المسدد المدفون بالمدينة وصاحب السكينة أبو القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المظلومين المعصومين المنتجبين لا سيما الحجة روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عدوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. Dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد كتبنا في الزبور من بعد الذكر أن الأرض يرثها عبادي الصالحون. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us be part of the universal government of the 12th Imam, be part of his commanders, to be close to him in that universal government, inshallah, by the barakat of salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Alhamdulillah, we are blessed again with being together in these programs that we had before, a couple of years before, and due to some issues, we had to cancel these programs. Alhamdulillah, we're back together again. I feel like it's essential for us as brothers and sisters who are in Hawza, as English speakers of Hawza, as the so-called Westerners of the Hawza, I'm not a Westerner though, to be together and to be in touch with each other and to know about one another and to make a network together. We had this network before, and unfortunately, due to some unpleasant circumstances, we had to cancel our programs. We need to be together. We have to be together if we want to perform our duties as the followers of the 12th Imam. If we want to perform and fulfill our duties as the scholars, as the representatives of the Imam of our time. We have an enemy who is fully equipped, who knows almost everything about us, an enemy who has studied us, an enemy who has been stealing our books from Hawza, trying to know us better and better and to get ready to fight back when the time comes. And the time is getting closer and closer. And based on our traditions, based on our ahadith, the closer we get to the time of Dhuhr, the closer we get to the time of the government of Imam al-Hujjah, the more difficult and complicated things become. It is more difficult today to remain faithful. It is more difficult today to practice Islam. You may think that you're practicing Islam, but in fact you're not practicing Islam. You're practicing your oham and your imaginations. You may think that you're worshiping God, but you're just worshiping something that you think is God. We can say most of the even Muslims are such that they think they're following the right path, but they're not following the right path. It gets more and more difficult. Even in the concept of Tawheed, what do we say in Ziyarah Jama'a Al-Kabira? وَمَنْ وَحَّدَهُ قَبْلَ عَنْكُمْ وَقَبْلَ مِنْكُمْ. Whoever believes in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has received this ideology from you. So only those who are in touch with this school can possibly understand and practice Tawheed. So the rest of the world is out there, is out of the circle of Tawheed. But even those who are following the Ahlul, who think and claim that they're following the Ahlul Bayt, can we say they're real followers of the Ahlul Bayt? مَنْ وَحَدَهُ قَبْلَ عَنْكُمْ وَقَبْلَ مَنْكُمْ. Okay, but can we just claim that we're the followers of the Ahlul Bayt and okay, we also understood the concept of Tawheed? It takes practice. We have to pass through different trials. أَحَسَبَ النَّاسَ أَنْ يُتْرَكُوا أَنْ يَغُولُوا أَمَنُّوا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. I think it's been narrated that Abu Sufyan went to Amir al-Mu'mineen after the incident of Sarifa. And he says, you see, Abu Sufyan, we know who Abu Sufyan is. And he says, oh Ali, you don't want to do anything? I mean, they're taking your right. They're depriving you and the Ummah. And these are my explanations of how the situation was. Obviously, there were other people over there as well. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, أَحَسَبَ النَّاسَ أَنْ يُتْسَكُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا أَمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think that they just can claim that they're believers and they believe and God's not going to test them? Allah will test you. فَاسْتَغِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ مَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ. You have to resist. And those who are following you, they also have to resist with you. You will be tested. So many of those who've entered Islam will exit Islam. So many of those who did not accept Islam in the first place will accept Islam down the road. لَتُغَرْبَلُنَّ غَرْبَلَةً وَلَتُغَلِّبَنَّ عَلَاكُمْ أَسْفَلَكُمْ وَأَسْفَلَكُمْ عَلَاكُمْ. It will shake you. Those who are in the bottom of this society will go up. Those who are high up there in the first ranks of the believers, they go down. And we will continue shaking you and shaking you through different trials. We need to be ready for the coming of the Imam. If we cannot be together, brothers and sisters, in Qum, if we cannot be united in Qum, how do we want to make unity in the world between Muslims? This is an issue. I've been here, I think, more than most of you guys, or more than all of you guys. I'm not much older than all of you guys, but just I've been in Hawza more than you were. I've seen things in this Hawza. I've heard the stories from my teachers that makes me capable of saying that we have shortcomings that we have not solved yet. We have problems that we need to tackle, that we need to solve, that we need to get rid of before going back home. Otherwise, we will be another obstacle for the coming of the Imam. If we're not united, if we're not together. There's a hadith in Bahar al-Anwar that Imam says in the future, سَيَقُومُ رَجُلٌ مِنْ قُمْ وَمَعَهُ رَجَالٌ كَزُبُرِ الْحَدِيدِ يَدْعُ النَّاسَ أَلَى الْحَقِّ. There will be a man from Qum, and with him there are people who are just like pieces of metal, strong. لَا تَزُلُّهُمُ الْعَوَاصِفِ. Tornadoes and different problems in this world cannot shake them. And this man invites everyone to haqq, fights against batil. But a leader needs a system that can call people and invite people to the right path. Imam Khomeini came. With him, he had people like Ayatollah Khamenei, Ayatollah Beheshti, Ayatollah Mutahhari, Ayatollah Mufatteh, Shahid Shamran, and so many others. He has his students, And through the network of his students, he got to spread his message all over the country. If he was alone, he wouldn't have been able to get his message across the country, to the other side of the country. This is a big country. We have a network of tabligh. During the tabligh season, we go for tabligh. Last week, I was in Kerman. My students are all over this province, which is the biggest province of the Islamic Republic of Iran. We go to the poorest areas. We try to take care of people's problems. Not only their, you know, Islamic problems in terms of their, you know, questions that they have about God and, you know, imams and prophets. No, we try to take care of their everyday needs. You need a house. You need to eat, you need a job, you need to get married. Everything will there for you. There's a beautiful statement that Imam Al-Khamenei says about the Prophet of Allah and the purpose of being a student or a scholar. He says the Prophet of Allah, he served the people. He did not play a role of a scholar, nor an alim, nor a scientist. He was a leader who lived between his people and served his people. Therefore, his people followed him. We as a students, we have to be together, work in a network, and be between the people. And when I say people, I mean those who are in need more than others, not just with the rich. Again, part of the problem that some of us as scholars have is that we go back home, we hang out with the rich. Why? Because they have money. And we justify it. If you want to have a center, if I want to be able to take care of the center, I have to, you know, bring these rich people close to me to be able to take care of my center. All right. I remember being in Houston, I guess, and I had this on my mind that our centers, our scholars, our respected elders, they're unaware of the needy of their communities. They don't pay enough attention to them, especially the African American community that they think are the mustada'afin and are those African Americans that can play the role of Bilal al-Habashi, of the Ghulam of Imam Hussein, such people. A poor African American came to me after my lecture. It was during the month of Ramadan, back in 2012, I guess, or 2011, around that time. And he said, "Sheikh, if you let me, I want to criticize you." I said, "Okay, go ahead." He said, "You, Shaykh, when you come here, you just hang around with your friends, with, you know, especially the rich, Pakistanis, Indians, Iranians, Arabs, but what about us? As African Americans, we don't have anything. When you ask for money, we don't have much to offer. We would like to join and work, but you know, we either work with, you know, Pakistanis, Urdu speakers, Iranians, Arabs. We don't feel like we're part of this masjid. We don't see that connection. We're here because we love Islam. We're Muslims, but." I had a meeting and a few classes with Sunni scholars of Iran last week. There were a few teachers that taught, you know, we had a few workshops and stuff with the Sunni scholars of Iran. I told them in parts, in different parts of America, I went and joined the Jama'ah prayer of our Sunni brothers. And I tried to go to the poorest area. And I told them some of these people, they pray in a way that none of you have ever prayed. I remember going to a masjid next to a big gym, a very tiny room that they had, you know, rented for the masjid. And they were all African Americans. During summer, it's, you know, hot, it's humid in in Texas. And these people are simple workers that they have to work, you know, throughout the day to be able to, you know, live. But for the Maghrib prayer, my fiqh view is that I, you know, break my fast and I pray, you know, with the sunset, like, you know, most of the Sunni brothers. So I was able to pray with them and, you know, break my fast with them. So I went there with a couple of Shia brothers. I went to their masjid. They called the Adhan. And these brothers didn't break their fast. They just started praying. It took 15 minutes for their Salat al-Maghrib to finish. 15 minutes. Salat al-Maghrib. Me, as a student of Hawza, I thought a few times that I'm going to break my jama'ah, I'm going to finish my prayer, you know, in Furada, and I'm going to break my fast because it was hot, it was humid, it was a long day. And these people are there praying. And you could see that they're really praying. And after prayers, after like Salat al-Maghrib, not Isha, after Salat al-Maghrib, they got engaged with du'as and munajat. Again, didn't break their fast. After everything was done, they drank, they ate. We have to focus on these people, brothers and sisters. If you're involved, if you're trying to be a student of Hawza, you gotta be united here, you gotta be in a network. Otherwise, when you go back home, you're just gonna be a single scholar in a masjid, either with Pakistanis, or with Iranians, or with the Arabs. And just pray and, you know, talk about ahkam, and that's it. And that's the kind of Islam that imperialism wants us to have. That's the kind of Islam that Imam al-Khomeini addressed as the wrong Islam. Imam al-Khomeini says, throughout the history, from the day one, we had enemies till now. Obviously, as Quran says, لَتَجَزَنَّ عَشَدَّ النَّاسَ عَدَوَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. The most hostile of your enemies are Jews. This is what the Quran says. And we're not afraid to say it. Let it be the Jews of the time of the prophets. Let it be the leaders of the Jews, who are the Zionists of today in Israel or in America or anywhere else in the world. They are our enemies. As Quran says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it in the Quran. And it's not something that we do taqiyya over because we say it out loud in the Holy Quran. How do you want to hide this ayah? And even if you want to try to do taqiyya and not say that they're our enemies, they will not hide it. And they will attack you. They will put sanctions on you. If you close your eyes, your enemy is not going to exit the house. No, he's going to come forward and take your life. You just don't see it. Imam al-Khomeini says, the Jews, and then today imperialism and Zionism, want to give a wrong image of Islam to Muslims and non-Muslims. And the sad reality is that even some scholars have bought this reading of Islam. These are the words of Imam al-Khomeini. He says, they want to tell us that Islam is just a religion about hayz and nifas. Hayz and nifas, that's it. How to wash yourself, how to pray. That's it. This is Islam. Islam can't take care of a community, can't take care of a government. Islam has no orders about how to take care of a government, how to take care of the need of a people. Islam is incapable of having and controlling a government, let alone having a universal government. أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will is something else. Imam al-Khomeini says, if you refer to the Holy Quran, only a small part of it is related to ahkam, to the practical law, or even akhlaqiyat. But most of it is about ijtima'iyat, what we need to know about how to live, how to deal and socialize with others. Again, come to our hadithi corpuses. When you go to our hadithi corpuses, same thing. It's the same thing. Maybe 20%, 15% of our ahadith is about our practical law, or add another 15% to it about the akhlaqi issues. But the rest is about the ijtima'iyat. And Imam al-Khomeini says the sad thing is that even our scholars have bought, some of our scholars have bought this understanding of Islam. This is not Islam. This is not Islam. Let me read some of his words and how he describes Islam and Muslimin. Please recite the salawat. He says, Islam deen afrad mujahidis ke be dunbal haqq o adalat. Islam is a religion of those who have this quality of being mujahid, and these people are looking for haqq and justice. Deen kasan is ke azadi va adalat mikhahand. Islam is a religion of those who want freedom and justice. مکتب مبارزان و مردم ضد استعمار است. Islam is the school of the warriors against imperialism. اما اینها meaning the enemies of Islam. اما اینها اسلام را طور دیگری معرفی کنند. But the enemies of Islam have introduced Islam to people in a different way or differently. تصور نادرستی که از اسلام در اذهان عامه به وجود آورده و شکل ناقصی که در حوزه های علمیه عرضه کرده اند بر همین منظور است. امام says the incorrect image that they've given to people from Islam, even through the houses, meaning the houses is responsible here, ulama are responsible here, because they have fallen for the traps of shaitan and the enemies, not knowingly, not realizingly, that they didn't realize what they're doing. But they've preached Islam in this way. To do what? For what purpose? This is the purpose. که خاصیت انقلابی و حیاتی اسلام رو از آن بگیرند. They've preached Islam in this way to deprive Islam and Muslims from the انقلابی qualities of Islam, from the انقلابی aspect of Islam, the aspect that has hayat in it and has life in it, that can revive people. و نگذارد مسلمانان در کوشش جنبش و حرکت در کوشش و جنبش و حرکت باشند و آزادی خواه باشند و دنبال اجرای احکام اسلام باشند. Because they want to make Muslims some naive and weak people, a naive and weak nation, they cannot seek freedom. They cannot go after performing the ahkam and fulfilling the ahkam of Islam and trying to make that the norm and the qawaid of the society. To nakhwan hukumati be wujood avarand ke saadatshan ra ta'min kunan. And to not think about establishing a government that can guarantee their saada, their prosperity. But چنان زندگی کنند که در شأن انسان باشد. And not to live in a way that human beings really deserve. They gave us this understanding of Islam. And brothers and sisters, unfortunately, this Islam was being taught through Hawza, from the scholars of Hawza. And Imam Khomeini is calling against this. So this is not Islam. So we have the enemies trying to give a wrong image and a wrong understanding of Islam to people. And it's continuing today. It's the same story today. And if they see that you're giving the right definition and understanding of Islam to people, they ban you. They block you. They try to silence you. They put a sanction in you. They try to make it difficult for you to get in touch with people. And this is the reality of what's going on today. Brothers and sisters, if they sanctioned us, let's not point fingers at others and find responsible for the tragedy of being under the sanction of the enemies. It's an honor to be hated by the enemies of Islam. And to make the enemies of Islam show their hatred. I'm not saying go and do things for them to sanction you. No. I'm saying when they sanction you, the first thing you say is Alhamdulillah. They showed their anger. They showed their animosity. They showed their real face once again. Then again, sit down and think about what to do. Obviously, we're not going to stop. We're going to go forward. Everything that happens to a mu'min, even if you see it as a sad and tragic thing, within it, you have to see Allah. You have to see Tawheed. You have to see Tawheed Af'ali. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want this to happen, it wouldn't have happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see me in this situation. And He wants to see me passing through this trial. And He's testing me. And I have to be patient and wise. Allah, وَلَا يَحْمَلُ هَذَا الْعَلَمُ إِلَّا أَهْلُ الْبَصَرِ وَالصَّبْرِ. Be aware that no one can carry the flag of La ilaha illallah. No one can carry the flag of the 12th Imam except for those who have patience and who are basir. You have to be insightful. Don't react too quickly. Don't react too quickly, brothers. And if anyone reacted too quickly, don't hold finger at him either. If someone reacted too quickly, or felt threatened or intimidated, all right, give him some time. Let him realize what's going on. Give him more support. الإيمان على عشر درجات. Iman has 10 levels, brothers. Iman has 10 levels. Ayatollah Khamenei, based on this hadith, says Iman Inqilabi also has 10 levels. Meaning that in being revolutionary, not everybody is in the same level. We are all revolutionaries, but on different levels. صاحب الدرجة الثانية, the one who's in the second grade, don't look down at the one who's in the first grade. Don't look down at him. Try to hold his hand, as the hadith says, with rifq, with mahabba, with love, and raise him and bring him up to your level, and try to help him up to the second, to the third level. They sanction us. Someone might feel threatened or intimidated, and they don't know what to do. It's difficult to go back home. Yes, it's a reality. They might be upset for a while. They might even send a letter saying, we're not part of it. But give him some time. Let him think about it again. Let him come back. And let them be part of your network again. If we can make this network here in Qom, brothers and sisters, we can go back home and teach and preach Islam. Otherwise, we will be teaching and preaching the Islam that imperialism and Zionism wants. The kind of Islam that thanks God for Joe Biden. The kind of Islam that goes to the White House and attends the iftar that the enemies of Allah have made for the mu'mineen. If you don't pay attention to these points, you end up thinking that Islam is really about hayz and nifas and that's it. We have to open our eyes, brothers. We have to open our eyes and Imam al-Khomeini and his school, and Imam al-Khomeini and his school is helping us open our eyes and see the reality. And this is what the enemies don't want to happen, and it's happening. The Islamic Republic of Iran belongs to all the oppressed and needy people of the world. You may say this country is for the Iranians. All right. But this revolution does not belong to Iranians. This revolution belongs to the Shia, to the true Shia and oppressed of Ali ibn Abi Talib. No, let me make it wider. This revolution belongs to all the oppressed people of the world. When Imam Khomeini came, he said, my first priority, my first issue is the issue of Palestine. He sends a letter from Najaf. He says it out loud in his classes in Najaf. But why is it that the leaders of the Islamic, the Muslim countries and Islamic government, the so-called Islamic governments, are spending all the resources and all the money of the Muslims and basically just giving out everything that Muslims have to the non-Muslims, meaning imperialism and Zionism? He speaks about it. He doesn't just sit at home on his Instagram or YouTube channel and talk about the ahkam of hayz and nifas. I mean, it's good, and you have to know these ahkam. I've studied lum'ah, hayz, nifas. I taught them, and I taught nikah and all of these, and some of you guys, you know, attended my classes in fiqh and usul, but we all know it's not everything. The wilaya of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ya Allah. Let's have a program for the wilaya of Ali. Where is the wilaya of Ali without an Islamic government? You cannot understand, and you don't understand the concept of wilaya if you don't believe in the necessity of having an Islamic government. And this is what Imam Khomeini says again. Both of us, the Shia school of thought and Sunni school of thought, we agree that after the demise or the martyrdom of the Prophet of Allah, and for God's sake, let's not call him the Prophet of Islam, like some of the speakers in the West. He's the Prophet of Allah, the Prophet of God, not the Prophet of Islam. He's Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Time over, right? That's a lot of time. After the demise or the martyrdom of the Prophet, everybody knew that we're going to have an Islamic government. They all knew that what's expecting next is an Islamic government and nothing else. The only difference is that we believed that the Khalifa of this government is the heir and true successor of the Rasul, who was Amir al-Mu'mineen, and they thought that they can choose, you know, appoint the leader and choose them themselves. But they all agreed that we need that Islamic government. And Imam Khomeini says, "Wilayat al-Faqih," in the way that we present it, is badihi, meaning as soon as you imagine the concept of wilayat al-faqih, you acknowledge it. He says, those who know Islam, well, of course, you know badihiyat are divided to two categories. Our students of Hawza, badihiyat are divided to two categories. One part of badihiyat, you acknowledge it immediately, right away. And the second category of badihiyat, you acknowledge it with kadd zihni, meaning that you think a little bit. You have to put a little pressure on that little brain. And then you understand it. That's also another category of badihiyat. So don't come to me and say, all right, I thought and thought and thought about this, the concept of wilayat al-faqih, didn't acknowledge it. No, you have to do kadd zihni as well. So wilayat al-faqih is part of the badihiyat. Brothers and sisters, if we believe that this government, forget about wilayat al-faqih or whatever government this government is, whatever type of hukuma we have, If we believe that this government is going to make us closer to the government of the 12th Imam, even one step, we still have to support it. If we believe that this government is going to help us get close to the government of the 12th Imam, even by one step, we still have to defend it and support it with our lives. And it's sad. It's a sad reality that we have scholars who don't see the reality, who don't study well, who are still making decisions based on the assumptions and mentalities that the enemies of Islam have put in their minds. They don't realize it. As long as they have their own masjid, as long as they have that YouTube channel, they have that Instagram, and people are texting and say, "Oh, thank you, it's really good, mashallah. You changed my view towards Islam. I used to think Islam is something that we have to constantly fight and fight. Now I think we can just relax and sit in a corner and let the world be on fire and just enjoy." This is the type of Islam that some of the scholars, unfortunately, are preaching in the West and in the East and, alhamdulillah, in our city, in Qom. Brothers, I truly believe that the freedom that the Islamic government in Iran is giving to the people and to the opposition is something that you cannot find anywhere, literally anywhere. We have people in Qom, in the Hawza, in the heart of the revolution, who have gatherings talking about and talking against the revolution, talking against the leader, cursing the revolution, cursing the leader. And they have their own gathering. And we don't touch them, all right, do whatever you want. Well, of course, if they come in public and they try to, you know, mess with the order of the society, then based on the ahkam of Islam, based on our fiqh and jurisprudence, we have to take action and put them back in their own places. But the freedom that you have here, I know the West, I know how America is, which is, if you want to give it a title, a really big prison. I know how America is, I know how Britain is, I know how Canada is. In some of these countries, you think that you have the freedom of expression and you can, you know, freely express your ideas. But the reality is, if you want to express your ideas, you have a purpose for it. You want others to hear it. They let you, in some places, they let you, you know, express your ideas, but they don't let others to hear your opinion. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand what Islam is, brothers and sisters. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be connected to one another. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us connected to the Imam of our time through the network of the Imam. Our A'imma, they have always had their networks. And you have to be part of this network. This is the meaning of wilaya. Wilaya means I'm your wali, you're my wali. And there's a network of wilaya, and we're all connected to waliullah al-azam. Without a network, without being together, nothing can happen, nothing will happen. But the amr, our amr, is near. Don't think that if you are not there, it's not going to happen. It will happen. It's just going to be without you. So by you not being there, this system, this network won't lose anything. You lose everything. Let's be in the system. Let's be in the network. Let's find and locate ourselves in this network. And let's connect ourselves to the Imam of our time through the network of Wilaya, through the network of Wilayat al-Faqih, inshallah. Inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. If you want to say Ameen, say it loud. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. No. This is not loud enough. You have to say Ameen louder. You're in the network now, okay? Say Ameen in a network. Allah, we ask you to hasten the return of our Imam.
Ahsant.
You're in the first step now. Inshallah, I pray that you pass on the levels and get to the highest level of this network. Oh Allah, we ask you by the right of our Imam to give good health and prolong the life of all of our Maraja, and especially our leader.
Ameen.
We still have shortcomings and deficiencies. Oh Allah, we ask you by the right of the 12th Imam to enable us to visit the holy sites, the holy shrines of the Ahlul Bayt in Karbala, in Najaf, in Samarra, in Qadamain, in Mashhad, in Medina, and Mecca, inshallah.
Ameen.
We ask, O Allah, we ask you to enable us build the shrines of the Ahlul Bayt in Medina.
Ameen.
O Allah, we ask you to make us the real and true soldiers of the Imam, those soldiers who will be with him in the final battle.
Ameen.
O Allah, we have two sick brothers that are in a critical situation. We ask you by the right of Imam al-Sajjad, by the right of Musa al-Qadim, to give them shafa. And I ask all of you to recite Surah Fatiha for these two brothers. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.